This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we continue our series, our story, a chronological overview of the Muslim Ummah, walhamdulillah. Why our story, ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah? Because in reality, everyone has a story. What is our story? Alhamdulillah. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, this is our episode number 8. And inshaAllah, in this episode, in this halaqa, our majlis, we will discuss inshaAllah, the year 5 after Hijrah, the year 627 of the Common Era, what occurred. The Meccans, the Quraysh, and their allies, the Banu Ghatafan, Banu Asad, Banu Sulaym, the Banu Nadir tribe, they all get together, and they lay siege to Medina al-Munawwara for almost a month in the Battle of the Trench. And they eventually return home unsuccessful, walhamdulillah. The same year, the Persian forces are defeated by the Byzantines in the Battle of Nainawa. This restores the Roman Empire to its former borders. Who was the head of the Roman Empire at the time? Heraclius. Based where? In Constantinople, as we will discuss bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. But before that, ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, in our previous majlis, we discussed the events between the Battle of Uhud in Shawwal, the year 3 after Hijrah, up to Khandaq, the Battle of Trench, which we will discuss in this majlis. So, between these two major events, we said that there was the massacre of Ar-Raji', there was also the massacre of Bi'r Ma'una, subhanallah. Subhanallah, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many companions were martyred in the Battle of Uhud. Then plus minus 6 were massacred at Ar-Raji'. And then further, Bi'r Ma'una, we had plus minus another 60 to 70 of the Sahaba that were massacred. Allahu musta'an. One calamity, one tragedy after the other. Then we also discussed the expulsion of Banu Nadir. The Banu Nadir, why were they expelled? Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to them seeking their assistance in putting together the blood money for two innocents that were killed. The Sahabi, he took the lives of these two individuals thinking that they had a hand in the massacre of Bi'r Ma'una. But they were innocent of that crime. And so the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to the Banu Nadir seeking their assistance. We are allies in Medina al-Munawwara. And so I require your assistance in putting together the blood money. They said, no problem, we'll let us have a small discussion. And there were some reports that they intended to bring food for him. Or they gave that sort of impression. But they plotted and planned behind the scenes to assassinate the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was there, while he was seated, subhanallah. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed by Jibreel, and he leaves that gathering. He gets the Sahaba together and they lay siege to the Banu Nadir, and eventually Banu Nadir, they are the second Jewish tribe in Medina al-Munawwara to be exiled, expelled from Medina al-Munawwara, walhamdulillah. This Banu Nadir here, they will play a major part in our discussion today, inshaAllah. The discussion related to the Battle of the Trench. Because it's the Banu Nadir who eventually go to Makkah al-Mukarramah, and they are the ones who stir up the Quraysh. They are the ones who stir up the Ghatafan and other tribes to come and lay siege to Medina al-Munawwara with the intention of exterminating the Muslims. Allahu musta'an. We also discussed the expedition of Zat al-Riqa'. We spoke about the expedition to Banu Mustaliq. We discussed the slander upon Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Allahu musta'an. We talked about Suratul Munafiqun, that we saw that in those expeditions there, in the expedition of Banu Mustaliq, many of the Munafiqeen, they also went out and they participated. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, Allah sent down the revelation in Surah Munafiqun, dealing with these individuals and what they said, that the highly ones, the respectable ones, will kick out the lowly ones from Medina al-Munawwara. Meaning who? Meaning they will kick out the muhajireen, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, etc. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, we discussed the issue of the slander upon Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the verses revealed exonerating her of that accusation. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. We now move on, insha'Allah, to the year 5 after Hijrah. The Meccans and their allies, they lay siege to Medina al-Munawwara. You had the Quraysh, the Banu Nadir, the Banu Sulaym, the Banu Asad, Banu Ghatafan, all of them coming together. Laying siege to Medina al-Munawwara for approximately 1 month in the Battle of the Trench. Why was it called the Battle of the Trench? We will discuss. Eventual result, they leave Medina al-Munawwara unsuccessful. This was a victory for the Muslims, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. So we are discussing the year 5 after Hijrah. This is also called the Battle of Khandaq, Khandaq meaning trench. It's also called the Battle of the Ahzab, Ahzab meaning the clans or the confederates, clans or the confederates. When did this take place? In the month of Shawwal, the year 5 after Hijrah. Between who? Between the Muslims of Medina al-Munawwara. They totaled about 3,000 in number. And the Quraysh, the Banu Nadir, the Ghatafan, Banu Sulaym, Banu Asad, Banu Qurayza also, Allahu musta'an. And that's why they are called the allies, or they are called the clans. They are called the Ahzab, the confederates. How much did they number? They numbered plus minus 10,000, subhanAllah. 10,000. Intention to exterminate the Muslims. We tried at Uhud. We killed many of the Muslims at Uhud, but we did not finish the job. And so they come back now with the intention of finishing the job. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. The reason behind this battle of Khandaq or battle of Ahzab, we find that the Banu Nadir, they were expelled from Medina al-Munawwara, the second Jewish tribe to be expelled. They were the ones who planned to assassinate the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, throw this rock over him and kill him. They go to Makkah al-Mukarramah. Where were they based now? Many of them were based in Khaybar. In Khaybar. From Khaybar, Huyay ibn Akhtab and many of the other leaders, Huyay ibn Akhtab is the father of Safiyya radiallahu ta'ala anha. Safiyya will eventually become one of the wives of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of our mothers, walhamdulillah. Well, her father, one of the Jewish leaders of the Banu Nadir, he goes to Makkah al-Mukarramah with others. And they begin to incite the Quraysh against the Muslims. And they say to them that you people are upon the truth and Muhammad is upon falsehood. You people need to come and destroy and finish them off. And we have the assistance of many other tribes. We have many other tribes on board. And so they total plus minus 10,000. And Abu Sufyan was one of the main leaders of the clans, of the Ahzab, of the confederates. Some state that the Banu Nadir, they wanted their land back in Medina al-Munawwara. So they wanted Islam, the Muslims, to be removed so that they could eventually come back to Medina al-Munawwara. One must remember and take note, subhanAllah, that our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in reality, he was very lenient with the Banu Qaynuqa, first Jewish tribe, who were given their marching orders, exiled from Medina al-Munawwara. He was also rather lenient with the Banu Nadir. They planned to assassinate him, subhanAllah, and he gave them their marching orders and exiled them. There's only one Jewish tribe still living in Medina al-Munawwara, and that is That is the Banu Qurayza, the Banu Qurayza tribe. And Allahu Musta'an. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Treacherous they will be, betrayers they will be, that the Banu Qurayza tribe, allies of the Muslims, eventually when the Muslims are under siege, they will swap sides. They will switch their allegiances to who? To the Quraysh and to the Banu Nadir brethren, etc. Allahu Musta'an. And so the Muslims will have the outside external enemy, and they will also now be faced with an internal enemy. Allahu Musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the casualties eventually on the side of the Muslims, plus minus 6, some mentioned 7. As for the Quraysh, etc., they had about 3, and some mentioned about 4. So there was not that many casualties on either side. But the final result was victory for the Muslims. How? We will discuss. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, our Nabi, our Rasul, your Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gets the news via Al-Abbas. Al-Abbas, his uncle living in Makkah Al-Mukarrama, informed him previously that the Quraysh were on their march, heading towards Medina Al-Munawwara before the Battle of Uhud. And here again, walhamdulillah, Al-Abbas sends news that the Quraysh, they are mustering their forces up together, and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam makes shura with the Sahaba, and they decide to implement the idea of Salman Al-Farisi. Number one, we will fight from within the city, so we will not go out in the open like we did at Uhud. And we are only 3,000, and the enemy is like plus minus 10. It will be very difficult to fight them out in the open. So we will fight from within the city limits, and we will implement the idea of Salman al-Farisi. Salman al-Farisi mentions that, he has experience that they used to build these trenches, dig these trenches to slow down the enemy, to stop the enemy, to provide a barrier between them and the enemy. And so that's what they implement, walhamdulillah. Take note, Salman al-Farisi, he didn't participate in the Battle of Badr, nor in the Battle of Uhud. Why? Because he was a slave at that time. But now he is freed, walhamdulillah. So, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we find that Medina al-Munawwara, towards the south, the west, and the east, we find natural protection. We find this natural protection in the city of Medina al-Munawwara. But in the north, we find that towards the north, that's where the area is exposed. And so anyone entering the cavalry, their horses, their armaments, they will enter via the north. And it's here in the north that the Muslims dug up this trench. Dug up this trench, plus minus various reports, plus minus it seems it was 2,725 meters long. So 2.7 kilometers long here in the north. As for the south, as for the east and the west, you had the natural defenses, the mountains, you have the volcanic plains. All of this here provided natural protection, and any aggressor, they would enter via the north. And subhanallah, the Quraysh obviously not expecting any trench or anything of the sort. And this trench, subhanallah, it was 5 meters in width, so 5 meters across, and it was 3 meters deep, 3 meters deep. So it was a decent type of protection barrier for the Muslims, walhamdulillah. And what did this prevent? This obviously prevents the cavalry from marching in with their horses. It allows for the Muslim archers to be stationed, and whenever the enemy gets close to the trench, for them to shoot the enemy with their arrows, and so to slow down the enemy, to ensure that the enemy does not cross and enter into the city, walhamdulillah. So Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the trench, as we mentioned, plus minus 2.7 kilometers on the northern side. The Sahaba only had about 6 days to dig this up. Only had about 6 days to dig this up, Allahu Musta'an. All participated in its digging. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he went down and he was digging and he was assisting. He was not like, as is mentioned in the Noble Quran, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ, that you order other people to do good and you forget yourself? No, subhanAllah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the first one there and he was busy with the digging and in the preparations, walhamdulillah. In fact, even the Banu Qurayza tribe, the last Jewish tribe in Medina al-Munawwara, who eventually will swap over onto the side of the enemy, but at this juncture, they were assisting the Muslims with their tools, etc. In fact, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with this idea of Salman and everyone busy, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sees that the Ansar are saying, oh, Salman is from us. And the Muhajirin are saying, no, Salman is from us. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, in reality, Salman is from us, from the Ahlul Bayt. Salman, he is from us, from the Ahlul Bayt. Walhamdulillah. The Sahaba, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to keep the spirits high, they were singing these lines of poetry. Allahumma la aisha illa aishul akhira. Oh Allah, there is no true life except the life of the hereafter. Faghfir lil muhajirin wal ansar. And so have and send forgiveness upon the muhajirin and the ansar. Other lines. Wallahi lawla anta mahtadayna wala tasaddaqna wala sallayna. Had it not been for you, O Allah, we would not have given charity, nor would we have prayed. فَأَنْزِلَنْ سَكِينَةً عَلَيْنَا وَثَبِّتِ الْأَقْدَامِ إِنْ لَاقِينَا. And so send down serenity upon us and make our feet firm when we meet the enemy. إِنَّ الْأُولَى قَدْ بَغَوْ عَلَيْنَا. The foes, the enemies have transgressed against us. وَإِنْ أَرَادُوا فِتْنَةً أَبَيْنَا. And if they want fitna, they want issues, we will not give in. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the season at the time, it was winter. And the Muslims didn't prepare for any siege or anything of the sort. The city was under lockdown. That's why we find that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had the stone on his belly. Even while they were preparing the trenches, many were going through some tough times with the hunger. Allah musta'an. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jabir ibn Abdullah sees him. He has these rocks, he has these stones on his belly. And so Jabir goes to his wife and asks, what do you have? She says, I only have this like goat and some barley. And so he asks her to prepare it. Remember, it is the same Jabir that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was returning from the expedition of that al-Riqa', Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Jabir, that are you married? And then Jabir says, yes, did you get married to a virgin or a non-virgin? And then he mentions he got married to somebody who will assist in looking after his younger sisters. And then he had the camel which was very slow. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam blessed it. And then eventually asked Jabir, Sally took me. Jabir was reluctant. End of story. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam bought it and then gave it back to Jabir. Also gave Jabir the price for it. Walhamdulillah. Beautiful, mashallah. It's the same Jabir here now. He goes to his wife and he asks, do you have anything to eat to provide for the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He's going through tough times. He's got these stones on his belly, Allah musta'an. And so Jabir radiallahu ta'ala's wife, she prepares the food, subhanallah. And then he invites the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, that tell your wife not to take off the pot from the fire, nor the bread from the oven until I come. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went, he blessed the food, and then 10 after 10 after 10 after 10, 10 by 10, the Sahaba were entering and they were eating. And the narrations mention that plus minus 1,000 ate, subhanallah. Look at this miracle, look at this this karama, this mu'jiza of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, as we stated, that even during the preparation of the khandaq, the Muslims had a shortage of food. Imagine the shortage once Medina al-Munawwara is under siege for plus minus a month. Allahu musta'an. Allahu musta'an. There was also, during the preparation of the Khandaq, there was a large rock that was found and they were unable to move it or break it. And so they come to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, I will come. And he came, he picked up an axe or he picked up a pixel, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Bismillahi Allahu Akbar, and he hits it. And there was like a spark. You know, when you hit rock with something sharp, then there was like a spark. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives them glad tidings that I have been given the keys of Sham, the keys of Syria. Syria is under who? Syria is under the Byzantine Empire. And then he hits it a second time. Allahu Akbar. U'titu mafatiha Faris. I've been given the keys to Persia, the Persian Empire. Allahu musta'an. And then a third time, and he says, I've been given the keys of Yemen. Subhanallah. Brothers and sisters, ponder over this. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has rocks on his belly. They're going through tough times. They don't have enough of food. Soon they will be under siege. 10,000 are coming to lay siege to them. At this time, in this moment, at this juncture, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives the Sahaba glad tidings about what is to come. The day that the Muslims, the Muslim Ummah, will control Sham and Yemen and Syria. Allahu musta'an. If the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a charlatan, if he was a fake, he would not make promises as such. It is only somebody who is getting inspiration from Allah who will be so confident enough to say stuff like this, especially at a critical juncture like this. Subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. That's why when the Muslims will find that the Banu Qurayza and others have turned, have swapped sides, some of the Munafiqeen will say that Muhammad, he's promising us the palaces of the Persians and the Romans, and we're unable to even go to the toilet in safety. And that's how the Munafiqeen speak. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. There was the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the breaking of that rock and a prophecy that he foretold. Also during this time, he sees Ammar ibn Yasir working very, very hard. Walhamdulillah. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam also gives him glad tidings and says to him that Ammar, you will be killed by a transgressing party. You will be killed by a transgressing party. تَقْتُلُكَ الْفِئَةَ الْبَاغِيَةَ. And subhanallah, that's exactly what happened. Ammar ibn Yasir fought on the side of Ali radiallahu ta'ala an in the fitan which occurred after the assassination of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. The party of Ali on one side and the party of Muawiyah radiallahu an on the other. Ammar ibn Yasir was on the side of Ali and he was killed. And we Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we say that technically Ali's party, they were on the haq, they were upon the truth. And Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, they were mistaken. And so when Ammar was killed, many on the side of Muawiyah, they were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, it's Ammar who was killed. That means we are the transgressing party. Because Ammar was killed, he was fighting on the other side. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. Also related to this battle of Ahzab or Khandaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down Suratul Ahzab. Suratul Ahzab, dealing with this matter here, also discussing the munafiqeen and their behavior with regards to this matter. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. After the Khandaq was prepared, soon after, the Ahzab, they arrived. Who's the Ahzab? The Ghatafan, the Quraysh, the Banu Nadir, the Jewish tribe that incited all of this. All of the various tribes came together, the clans, the confederates, and they are shocked, they are surprised by this Khandaq. Whenever they try to get close to the, whenever they try to get close to the Khandaq, to the trench, they are shot with the arrows from the Muslim archers. And so this is a barrier. Now, what do we do? They were not expecting to lay siege to Medina al-Munawwara. They came to exterminate the Muslims. They came to exterminate the Muslims. They probably didn't come with enough of supplies sustain a siege on Medina al-Munawwara. They will require food, they will require supplies, all of this here. And so eventually they will run short on those supplies. Nonetheless, we find that some of the Quraysh, some of the Ahzab, they managed to cross the barrier, the Khandaq, and make it to the other side. Amr ibn Abdwud, he makes it across, and he was one of those strong warriors of the enemy. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala fights him. There's like dust all over because of the intensity of the fighting between both of them. Alhamdulillah, Ali radiallahu ta'ala finishes him off. Ikrimah and Khalid ibn Walid and Ikrimah, the son of Abu Jahl, they also make it across, but they were repelled by the Muslims. We find that Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, the head of the Aus from the Ansar, the Aus and the Khazraj, well, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, the head of the Aus, he was injured with an arrow. Allah musta'an. Subhanallah. He will be nursed in the masjid and he will pass away soon after the siege. This Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala an. Some years later, when the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is gifted a cloak, a garment, and the Sahaba are like amazed by it, how beautiful and how fancy it is. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to them that indeed, surely, verily, the handkerchief of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh in Jannah is better than this. The handkerchief of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh in Jannah is better than the dunya and whatever it has. Imagine. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't forget his companion Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. Years later, out of the blue, he just mentions this and he remembers Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. Subhanallah. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. That's our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would not forget the people who did good, the people who favored, the people who assisted him, even though they've passed away years ago. Similarly, how at the battle of Badr, when the prisoners were there, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that if Mut'im ibn Adi was alive right now, then I would have set free all of these people. Because Mut'im ibn Adi had assisted the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he wanted to re-enter into Mecca al-Mukarramah after his visit to Ta'if, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, the lesson there being what? That do not forget the favors of the people, that thank them, remember them, make dua for them, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. So now we find that the Quraysh and the clans, they have laid siege to Medina al-Munawwarah. They are trying to get across the barrier. They were not expecting this. So they are also in a bit of a quagmire. And so what do they do? Huyay ibn Akhtab, the leader of the Banu Nadir tribe, he makes his way towards the south of Medina al-Munawwara. Who's in the south? Well, in the south you have the Banu Qurayza tribe. The south of Medina al-Munawwara, that's the north there. And towards the south you have the Banu Qurayza tribe. Allahu musta'an. And so if we can speak to the Banu Qurayza, we can get them onto our side, then at least they can open up the south. And if they don't open up the south, at least they can attack the Muslims from within. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, wa makaru wa makar Allah, wallahu khayrul makirin. They plan and they plot, but Allah is the best of those who plan and those who plot, subhanallah. So the trench towards the north, and we have the natural defenses on the east and the west, and the Banu Qurayza tribe was on the south, subhanallah. And so if you look at that, this is the area of where the Khandaq was placed. And towards the south, you find the date palm trees are there today, up till today, the various plantations. And towards the south, that's where the Banu Qurayza was based. What did they do? Huyay ibn Akhtab comes to them. He tries to convince them to align with the clans. They said, no, we will not do that. We cannot do that. We cannot break our agreement. He eventually convinced them. He says to them, then what do you think? We are here with 10,000. At Uhud, we only had 3,000. And look at the losses that the Muslims suffered. Now we are 10,000. We are going to exterminate the Muslims. You better choose to be on the right side of history. And so eventually, the Banu Qurayza, they broke the agreement with the Muslims. And subhanallah, they posed a major threat. They were plus minus 2,000 themselves. They could open up the southern defenses for the clans to enter. They themselves would probably now attack the Muslims, as some of them tried to do. Allahu musta'an. Allah mentions this in the Noble Quran. إِذْ جَاءُكُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ, when they came from above you. وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ, أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ, the Banu Qurayza, the south. وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارُ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرَ وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ. And subhanAllah, your hearts were in your throats. Your hearts were in your throats. The Sahaba, their hearts were in the throats. It was a very, very, very tough time. They have the women and the children behind them in the various homes, in the forts. And in front of them are the Quraysh. And behind them are the Banu Qurayza. And so the women and the children could at any time be attacked by the Banu Qurayza. The southern defenses could fall any time. And the clans could enter from there. Allahu musta'an. And this Huyay ibn Akhtab, he says to the Banu Qurayza, I will stand with you people. I will stand with you people. We are 10,000. We cannot lose. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets wind of this matter. And he sends four individuals to investigate. And he says to them that if what is said is true, if the Banu Qurayza have swapped sides, don't speak about it publicly. Don't mention this aloud when you come back with the news. Mention it to me quietly. Why? Because we don't want to decrease the morale of the Muslims. We don't want to cause them undue suffering. Allah musta'an. We don't want to weaken their spirits. And so Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, Sa'd ibn Ubada, Abdullah ibn Rawaha, Khawat ibn Jubair, they had gone to the Banu Qurayza to investigate. And they see that yes, that is the case. Banu Qurayza, they say, who is Rasulullah? We have no agreement with him. Subhanallah, subhanallah, this is how you talk? This is how you talk? At this juncture, critical juncture, now you decide to swap sides? Allahu musta'an. Betrayal, treason of the highest order. Allahu musta'an. They come back to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they say to him, Udal and Qara. Udal and Qara, those were two tribes that previously were responsible for the massacre of the Muslims. Deception, betrayal, treachery. So the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood. Allahu musta'an. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends a communication to the tribe of Ghatafan, and he offered them 1/3 of the crops of Medina al-Munawwara if they disperse, if they do not associate and do not assist the Quraysh, if they disperse and go back home, he will give them 1/3 of the crops of Medina al-Munawwara at harvest. What did they respond? They said, no, we want half the crops. We have been promised by the Banu Nadir that they will give us so much of crops from Khaybar. So the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam offered them instead 1/3. They said, no, we want half. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he comes to Sa'd ibn Mu'adh and others, and he asks them, what do you people think about this matter? What do you say about this matter? Should we give them, at least these people will disperse? They say, ya Rasulullah, is this something that you've been ordered via revelation, or is it an opinion that you think is good? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, this is just something I've thought of. At least they can disappear. At least they can disperse. We have less to deal with. They said, ya Rasulullah, in kufr, we never gave them anything like this. In kufr, we never gave them anything like this. And so why in Islam, when we are upon the haq, should we give them? We will not give them. We should not give them. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that the Ansar were determined to fight, walhamdulillah. And so that put an end to that offer, walhamdulillah. What are the Quraysh looking for now? They're looking for the weakest point to breach the defenses. This barrier, this khandak, they're looking for the sections, the areas where they are able to breach it and they're able to cross. Every time they get close, the Muslims shoot them with the arrows, and so difficult for them. And while the Muslims are now manning this 2.7 kilometer trench, at any moment the enemy could attack from the right, the left, this section, the other section, down the road, this side, that side. I mean, it's 2.7 kilometers from anywhere they could attack. They could attack from the south. They could attack from across the mountains. Maybe they decide to breach the mountains. Allahu musta'an. You have the enemy at the rear. We need to now send some of the Muslim forces to the rear to check the defenses where Banu Qurayza could attack us. Allahu musta'an. To protect the women and the children in the rear. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, spreading the men around, sending some to the rear to watch and to save and keep guard. The Muslims spent the entire night, those nights, they spent the entire night walking around the city, a patrol, making takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. Throughout the night, they are in the takbir, just to make sure that the enemy does not decide to attack. to make sure that the enemy realizes that we are alert right now. In fact, one of the Jews, he tried to get into the house, the fort that the Muslim women and children were housed in. But Safiya bint Abd al-Muttalib, aunt of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she finished him off. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, as we mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect. And Allah has his junood, Allah has his soldiers. What happened? We find that Nu'im ibn Mas'ud al-Ghatafani, this is an individual from the Ghatafan tribe, he swapped over and he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he announces that he has become Muslim. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him that you rather go back to your people and you try to weaken their morale, try to weaken their strength. Do what you can do. I mean, they don't know that you are Muslim. You do what you can do. He says, I can even lie. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that war is deception. And you do whatever you can do to weaken their unity and to break them up. And so, subhanAllah, this Nu'im ibn Mas'ud al-Ghatafani, he goes off and he meets up with the Jewish tribe of Banu Qurayza. And he says to them, that you people need to be careful because the Quraysh are here and the Ghatafan and all the tribes. But if they don't really finish off the Muslims, you people will be finished. So you need to get assurances from them that they are not going to leave you with the job half done. And what you should do is, maybe you should request for the Quraysh and others to send you some of the high ranking individuals who will stay with you in your forts, remain with you, and so they can be held as collateral, as assurances. That would be a good idea. So then you make sure that they will not desert you. So they said, that's a very good idea. And then he went to the Quraysh and he said to them, you know what? You can't trust the Banu Qurayza. I've heard that they've now regretted joining you people. And they've gone to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they've recanted. And they said that, you know, we will show you that we are honest now. And we will stand by you. And what we will do is, we will bring you some of the leaders of the Quraysh. And we will hand them over to you. So be careful. If the Banu Qurayza comes to you and they ask you that give us so and so and give us this person, that person, we want them as collateral, we want them as assurances, be careful. They want to hand them over to Muhammad. And so he went to both parties and he mentioned stuff like this. Soon after, what happens? Obviously, the Banu Qurayza, they send the request to the Quraysh. And the Quraysh are like, whoa, this is exactly what Nu'im ibn Mas'ud al-Ghatafani told us. These people are treacherous. These people, we can't trust them. Allahu musta'an. And so what they said was that, tell the Banu Qurayza that we're going to attack tomorrow. And the Banu Qurayza said, no, tomorrow is Sabbath. Tomorrow is Saturday. We can't fight on Saturday. Saturday we can't. Then the Quraysh are like, whoa, what is this? Well, they look at the excuses that these people are making. It must be true that they have realigned themselves with Muhammad. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent some severe winds. Very, very cold weather. It was already winter and it got more severe. The winds were very, very severe those nights. And the camps of the Quraysh, anything and everything was blown down. And it was very, very difficult upon them. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions to the Sahaba, who will go as a spy into the camp of the Quraysh to bring us information, what is going on, what is happening there. And so none of the Sahaba volunteered. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this person will be with me in paradise. None of the Sahaba volunteered. Why? Because they are hungry. Because they are tired. Because go into the camp of the enemy, Allahu musta'an. Until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala. And he sends Hudhayfa, and Hudhayfa goes. He goes into the camp, he sees Abu Sufyan, and he listens to the discussion. Abu Sufyan says, you know what? The Banu Qurayza, they've deserted us. It is so cold. We didn't really prepare for a siege. The siege is now plus minus 25 days. 25 days, subhanAllah. And so this is not going anywhere. I'm going back. I'm going back to Makkah al-Mukarramah. And so many others also followed suit. And by the next day, they had all left. Walhamdulillah. Hudhayfa comes back to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He finds the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in salah, making dua. Allahumma munzil al-kitab, sari' al-hisab, ihzim al-ahzab. Oh, the one who sent down the book, the one who is swift in accountability, destroy, break up the unity of the clans. Allahumma hzil, Allahumma ihzimhum, wa zalzilhum. Oh Allah, you finish them off and you destroy them and you break them up. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. Anjaza wa'ada. Anjaza wa'ada. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fulfilled his promise. Wa nasara 'abda, and assisted his slave. Wa hazama al-ahzaba wahda, and has dispersed the various clans alone. Allah has alone dispersed all of them and broke up the unity. Walhamdulillah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that wallahi now we will launch the attack upon them and they will not launch the attack upon us. We in the future will attack them and they will not attack us. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. The image you find there, that's Masjid Ar-Raya in Medina Al-Munawwara, and you find a masjid there today. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was based there, his camp was there when he was overseeing the building of the trench, walhamdulillah. And that masjid is around up till today, walhamdulillah, Masjid Ar-Raya. The masjid was built during the period of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the caliph during the Umayyad dynasty. Then there was also Masjid Al-Fath. It is said that upon that section, that area, that's where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was camped. That's where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was camped during the engagements with the Quraysh. And it is upon that hill there, that section, that area, he was making dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered his duas. Walhamdulillah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Muslims from what? Protected the Muslims from extermination. That's what the Quraysh, the Banu Nadir, that's what they came, that's what they intended, to exterminate the Muslims. And they've all dispersed now, walhamdulillah. But now what's left? Now you have the Banu Qurayza. We already discussed the betrayal of the Banu Qurayza. They are left now with no protector. No protector. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba had gone home. And imagine now, it's been like 25 days. Many of the men, most of the men, they're all on the battlefield. They're all keeping guard, standing the entire day, entire night. In fact, there were times that the battle was so severe. Battle was so severe, subhanAllah, that the Muslims, they even missed Salatul Asr. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he missed Salatul Asr, and the Sahaba also. And he says, woe to these people that they made us miss Salatul Asr. And so Salatul Asr was prayed as Qadha. How could that be? How could they miss the prayer? Because subhanAllah, you are manning this trench here. The enemy could attack at any time. Probably they might have been engaged in active attack, defense right now. And so Salatul Asr, time came in and time went out. And they prayed it as Qadha. Subhanallah. Some ulama state that this is the reason why at this time Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam missed Salatul Asr, because Salatul Khawf was not legislated. Salatul Khawf is the prayer that you pray on the battlefield or at times of difficulty, times of danger. The various methods of praying it, and from amongst the methods, you just pray it in whatever manner you can. So those ulama, they said, well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he could have prayed it as Salatul Khawf. The counter was, no, Salatul Khawf was not legislated as yet. It was only legislated after Khandaq. In reality, we discussed that Salatul Khawf was legislated before Khandaq, when the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam had gone out for that ar-riqa'. So Salatul Khawf was around. He could have made use of it, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But subhanallah, then what do we say? We say, but the battle was so severe, the time at that day, on that day, was so tense, that they were not even able to pray the salah as even a salatul khuf, subhanallah. Allahu musta'an. The shi'ar of the Muslims was, hamim la yunsarun. Hamim la yunsarun. That was the shi'ar, that was the war cry of the Muslims on that day. Subhanallah, we find that the munafiqeen, saying to one another, we have enemy in front, enemy behind, and he's promised us the treasures of Kisra, etc. We can't even go to the toilet in peace. And many of them, they went home. Many of them, they said, you know, we haven't locked our homes. I need to check on my family at this, at that, etc. They made excuses and they went home. Allahu musta'an, Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his soldiers, Nu'im ibn Mas'ud al-Ghatafani, who tricked the Quraysh, etc. And also the severe winds, walhamdulillah. After they return, Jibreel comes to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you've removed your armor, but the angels haven't done so. You need to head off to the Banu Qurayza. The betrayers, you need to sort them out. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam readies himself and he orders the Sahaba, none of you should pray Asr except at Banu Qurayza. Meaning, rush off quickly. Remember, it's winter. So get there to Banu Qurayza very, very quickly. Very quickly. And so you be there and you pray Asr there. And we know that's where the Sahaba had deferred. On their way, it was Asr time. And almost Maghrib coming in. So some Sahaba said, let us pray it now. It's Asr time. Others said, no, we will pray Asr at Banu Qurayza, even if it's Maghrib time. So one group of the Sahaba, they went literal. And the other group, they looked at the meaning, the ma'na, the reason why the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said this. And the ulama state that from there, the understanding, you had, like, for example, the scholars of the Ahlul Hadith, etc., much more literal in their understanding. And you have Ahlul Ra'i, the people of the understanding, why, what's the reasoning behind it. And so the ulama deferred in those two schools, just like how the Sahaba had deferred. And so 3,000, they march off, and they lay siege to the tribe of Banu Qurayza. How long did this siege last? It seems plus minus another 25 days. Another 25 days, subhanAllah. The Banu Qurayza, they already know their treachery, their deception, their betrayal, and so they barricade themselves in their forts. They request Abu Lubaba of the Aus. The Aus tribe previously was aligned with the Banu Qurayza tribe. And so they request Abu Lubaba to come to them and they want to have some discussions with him. And so he comes in, he sees the woman crying and the children crying and everybody worried. And so they ask him, you know, what do you think will happen to us? He says, you people should surrender. That's what you should do. You need to surrender. They say, what will happen to us? So he held his finger across his throat, indicating that they will be executed. And subhanAllah, once he did that, he realized, whoa, I shouldn't have done that. This was a kind of betrayal against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That I've indicated this to them. Maybe they decide to prolong the siege. Maybe they decide to send for outside help. I shouldn't have mentioned this. It was wrong for me to have told them that I think that you people would be executed. And so subhanAllah, he felt that I betrayed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims. And he leaves and he goes to the masjid and he has himself tied there to one of the pillars. And for about 6 nights he was tied there. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, what happened? Where's Abu Lubaba? They said, ya Rasulullah, this is what has happened. And he's gone to the masjid, he's tied himself until Allah forgives him. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he should have come to me and I would have forgiven him. But now he asked that Allah must forgive him. So he should wait there until Allah sends down revelation, exonerating him. And so Ibn Hisham mentions for 6 nights, he was there in the masjid. His wife would come in at the time of salah, would open him, he would pray and then tie him up again. And so if you go to Medina al-Munawwara, there's a very famous pillar there. And it is called the pillar of Abu Lubaba because that's where he was tied. And what's the reason for the tying? We've just discussed, walhamdulillah. Later on, he's forgiven. وآخرون اعترفوا بذنوبهم خلطوا عملا صالحا وآخر سيئا عسى الله أن يتوب عليهم. Surah Toba, verse number 102. Allah has forgiven them. They have acknowledged their mistake and they've done some good and some bad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven them. And he gave 1/3 of his wealth in charity, walhamdulillah. If you remember, the same Abu Lubaba, previously he had a dispute with that orphan. The orphan said, no, this tree is in my land. And it was ruled that no, technically this was the tree of Abu Lubaba. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abu Lubaba, give it to him. Give it to him. And you will get Jannah, a tree in Jannah. And he was, no, no, no. His justice prevented him from taking the higher and the better route. Well, here our Abu Lubaba, walhamdulillah, gives away 1/3 in charity, mashallah. As for the Banu Qurayza, eventually after 25 days, they surrendered. And there's about 3 of them who became Muslim, mashallah. And the Aus, many of them came to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be lenient with these people, they were our allies, like you were lenient with the Banu Qaynuqa, like you were lenient with the Banu Nadir, be lenient with Banu Qurayza. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, will it make you people happy that Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, the leader of the Aus, he decides their fate? He will decide their matter. And they said, yes, yes. Everyone was happy with that. Remember, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh is the one who is injured. He's injured, subhanAllah, and he will die soon after he gives his decision on this matter. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, radiallahu ta'ala, when he had come, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the rest of the people, stand up for your leader. And so Imam al-Nawawi and others, they state here, when you stand up to welcome somebody, there is no issue in this matter here. As opposed to somebody who, he just likes people, when he enters, they all stand up for him as a mark of respect. He just wants out of his pride that everyone must stand for me. No, that is reprehensible. But as for someone comes in, you stand to welcome him, no problem, inshallah. What did Sa'd ibn Mu'adh judge? What was his ruling? He ruled that the women and the children will be taken prisoner. And as for the fighting men, the adult men, then they will be executed. They should be executed for high treason. This is the punishment. And this punishment fits the crime. Subhanallah. Ponder, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. This was high treason that the Banu Qurayza had involved themselves in. Imagine the Muslims could have been exterminated. Banu Qurayza and others could have attacked all of the Muslims and destroyed them from within. Allahu musta'an. And so this punishment, it fit the crime. And the major historians mention between 600 to 700 men were executed of the Banu Qurayza. We have other narrations. No, it was rather 400 men who were executed and one woman, because she had killed one of the Sahaba. And we have other historians who state, no. Rather, it seems that the number was around 40, or some mention even 25. There is a lot of discussion with regards to this matter. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, remember well, that this incident of the Banu Qurayza is the number one incident that the Orientalists pick on the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam when it comes to his politics. Him being the leader, him being the authority figure, this is the number one issue that they find fault with. The execution and the punishment upon Banu Qurayza. In the personal life of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they make issue with the marriage to Aisha and the marriage to Zainab bin Jahsh. Whereas in terms of politics, this is the main issue that they always try to pick on and find fault. We say there's no issue here. There's no issue at all. These people were guilty of high treason, and the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them the punishment which was fitting for the crime, and it was Sa'd ibn Mu'adh who ruled in this matter. Walhamdulillah. There was also one of the female prisoners by the name of Rehana, and the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taken her as a concubine. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we come to the end of this matter, the matter of Khandaq. What we now see is that we have a gradual uniting of the Arabs. Never happened before. But now there is a uniting of the Arabs in the Arabian Peninsula. Either they are under the banner of Islam, or they are uniting under the banner of Kufr. But there are two banners, and the Arabs are getting united under one of these two banners. We also find now that the hypocrites, they've lost their allies. The hypocrites, they lost Banu Qaynuqa, then they lost Banu Nadir, and now they've also lost Banu Qurayza. Walhamdulillah, mashaAllah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, also in the same year, there was the Battle of Nainawa between the Byzantine Empire under Heraclius. You can see him there on the top right. Heraclius, who was based in Constantinople. They beat the Persians in this famous climatic battle of Nainawa on the outskirts of Mosul in Iraq. So Heraclius, his forces, the Byzantine Empire against the Persians, and the Byzantinians were victorious. And this year now, restores the original or the former borders of the Byzantine Empire. If one remembers that around the time of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam's birth, it was the Persians who had the upper hand. The Persians were the ones who were dominating. Well, now it's gone full circle. Towards the end of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, it's now who? It's now the Byzantine Empire that's leading in the battlefront. Walhamdulillah. And the Muslims were happy with the victory of the Byzantines, because they were at least people of the book. Alif Lam Mim. غُلِبَتِ الرُّومِ فِي أَدْنَى الْأَرْضِ وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ. Allah mentioned in the Quran that the Romans, they had lost, but very soon they will be victorious. And this is one of those victories here. Walhamdulillah. As for Heraclius, for your info, Heraclius, eventually he will pass away and he will be buried in Constantinople, modern day Istanbul. He was buried where? He was buried in the Church of the Holy Apostles. And that church eventually, upon that site, that is where Muhammad al-Fatih, when he conquered Jerusalem, his masjid was built on that site. His masjid was built upon the site of the Church of the Holy Apostles, and that is the site of the masjid of Muhammad al-Fatih. Walhamdulillah. Hayyakumullah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah. Until we meet again, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us and keep us blessed. We mention that everyone has a story, and this is our story. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah. We ask Allah for the best in this world and in the hereafter. We ask Allah for knowledge which is beneficial. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant khair and barakah to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how he gave victory to our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam against the confederates, against the clans. He also gives victory to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We say la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. We say la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. Allahumma munzil al-kitab, sari' al-hisab, ihzim al-ahzab. Allahumma ahzimhum wa zalzilhum. آمين حياكم الله. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.